Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
I think part of the sourcing process to me is the most exciting, because you know, you rent a car and you drive through the south of France, and you know, you obviously have some appointments set up, but you know, some of the most exciting things happen when you're just kind of winging it. And you meet a farmer at, you know, a wine fair, and he's, you know, he says, well, come back to my estate, and you're not quite sure where you're going, and you follow a guy in a Peugeot, you know, up a rambling hill, and all of a sudden you come across either a castle or a shack in the woods, and the guy's making wine out of the back of his, you know, house, or he could be making wine out of a major estate. You know, looks are deceiving, but you want to assume that someone with a very established chateau is making good wine. But 9 times out of 10, the guy out of the garage who's like super passionate is making these better wines, and they're maybe more rustic and less polished. So to me, like the restaurateur, the sommelier, this story resonates with them about the small farmer, you know, the guy who's making wine on small quantities, 80 cases, 100 cases. Those are the things exciting to Barterhouse, and hopefully the things exciting to our clients.
I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. Well, here we are in Bushwick, and it's pouring rain. We're at Roberta's Pizza, the home of Heritage Radio Network. And thankfully, our guest made it today, despite all the horrible, nasty, nasty fall weather. We've got Kara and Phoebe from Big Girls Small Kitchen. And this is a great blog, and they just recently... maybe not too recently, got a book deal, so that's going to be coming out next spring. But I just wanted to introduce you guys. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having us, Kathy.
So you guys have been friends forever, right? Since grade school, right?
Since 7th grade, when we met in the middle school corridor.
And we spent a lot of time baking cookies together, and actually baking competing cookies, and then making our friends taste test to see whose was better.
You guys bake cookies in 7th grade?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's baking age.
And we also baked cookies in high school, when we should have been doing a lot naughtier things.
It was very tame.
Well, what kind? It depends what kind of cookies.
What's yes. In there.
So you had this rivalry with cooking, and it continues to this day? And
minus the rivalry part, but yes, we've kind of made a habit of entertaining and eating in post-college, and also in college when we were at schools in neighboring towns. And then, you know, come November 2008, the day after Thanksgiving, we kind of spur of the moment started the blog, and I guess started to show readers kind of a how-to by life example of how to do the home cook thing and entertain your friends in tiny, tiny kitchens without spending too much.
Right, and we had realized that we were spending a lot of time cooking. We weren't roommates or anything, but we were also talking about it all the time. So I'd have people coming over, and I'd call Phoebe, be like, shoot, you know, I forgot the red wine vinegar. What can I substitute or whatever? And so we sort of translated some of those conversations to the blog.
Well, that's interesting. So even though you're not in the same kitchen, you can still kind of share your food in a way. And because I know, you know, when you're cooking for one person, or maybe just two people, you and your roommate, you're always going to have like something left over, maybe something you're missing. And it's great to just pool sources, but you were able to do that kind of through
exactly.
Conversation a little bit.
And once we really got into the blog, we had a lot of lunch meetings, and what we served each other was always this funny mix of, you know, the leftovers from our fridge, like, you know, made a little better with cream and pasta or cheese or whatever. So it's always recycling.
Absolutely. So you guys joined forces instead of continued to compete, and you started the blog in 2008?
Yes, it took us a little while to get rolling, but we started in November 2008, and then I'd say by about February, we were, you know, posting 4 or 5 times a week like we are today, and kind of had solidified the different categories that would create the foundation of Big Girl Small Kitchen. So we have cooking for one, cooking for others, potluck parties, and working with what you have, which is kind of like the leftover angle. And actually, those categories have kind of transitioned into some of our book sections. And our, you know, our book is organized by reasons to cook, I'd say. So in addition to those, we have another section on dating and...
That was a really fun one to write.
Yes.
Well, let's talk more about that one. So that's one of the reasons to cook is dating, because, you know, in my experience, all the time people would ask me, how do you date if you don't go to restaurants, you know? And well, obviously you can cook. So is that how it works in that section? Or
it's kind of, I don't know, a conversation of sorts about, you know, what... More often than not, we've actually found that guys will cook a lot earlier for girls. I don't know. It kind of gives them some sort of cred.
Right, like first or second date, as opposed to, I don't think I'd cook for a guy till the 5th, 6th, 7th date, maybe.
You don't want to give it up.
I like to move slow.
And it's probably because, I mean, we have this recipe in the book for beer beef stew, and we actually ate it together this weekend, and we're... suggested to us that we should actually call it How to Make Him Say I Love You Beef Stew.
Like, people Ooh. Were declaring their love to Phoebe right and left.
Wait, so that's the thing that girls should make for guys?
Absolutely.
The beer beef stew. Mm-hmm. Okay, was there, did you say something like the guys should cook for the girls first?
Well, we have a recipe. We just sort of found that guys were more likely to want to do that earlier, just because I guess if a guy can cook, they think it's really impressive and they want to show off.
Experience or
we kind of surveyed our friends, asked around, and what, you know, the habits were, and also what guys were making for girls, which was incredibly entertaining to hear about guys thinking that girls want to eat girl food, salads, fish, etc. And so we kind of set the record straight in the first chapter of the dating section that no, that's actually not necessarily what girls want to eat on a first date.
This is good to know. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if you can agree with that. We kind of said our parameters were that it shouldn't be something that's overly smelly, and that it shouldn't have, you know, a ton of herbs or things that could get in our teeth. And then other than that, just want it to be filling and satisfying.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If somebody gave me a little salad, I would just be like,
no thanks.
Yeah.
Then you get lettuce in your teeth, and that's
so what should a guy make for a girl on a first date?
We have this risotto that Phoebe invented when a guy friend of hers was having a girl over for a date, and he really wanted to impress her, but he didn't know what to make. And so we sort of ran down that list, you know, is it smelly? Is it easy to make? You know, and I think crucially for the cook, there's not very much you have to do last minute. At the same time, there's a little bit you have to do last minute, because showing somebody that you can cook is kind of impressive. So if you have something already ready and plated, they don't get to see the process. So with the risotto, you have it nearly done, and then, you know, you pour some wine, you give it a last few stirs.
And the wine that you've used ready for the risotto, of course.
Exactly.
And what kind of risotto was it?
So it's a shrimp risotto with sweet peas and leeks. And it's also great because there's nothing that you have to, you know, cut into. It's fairly easy to eat. You can inhale a bowl of it fairly
Sounds
quickly
nice
or
and
let
classic.
It.
Mm-hmm. What about the smelly factor? Is there shrimp stock involved here? Or?
No.
Okay. Just chicken stock. Chicken and stock. We had sort of a disagreement about whether you should leave the tails on the shrimp, because they look a little nicer if you do, but we were like, that's one more thing. You know, you'd have to touch with your hands and get shrimp goo on them.
Yeah, or you can, like, feed them to one another.
That's
depends
true.
What I kind of date.
Yeah, that would be, so different options.
Yes, different interpretations of sexy.
So what should a girl, so a girl should make for a guy beer and beef stew.
Yes, definitely.
That sounds like a good recipe for this kind of weather.
It was delicious this weekend, which was also rather cold.
So you're doing a lot of recipe testing then for the cookbook?
We're kind of through with that. The book's in its final stages. We just saw our first mock-up of the cover, which looks
cool.
Great and was very
really exciting.
But no, I mean, the book contains a lot of our favorites, so naturally we're making them again and again.
Right.
Can I find the stew recipe on your blog somewhere in there?
No, but I'll send it to you.
Oh, okay.
We're saving it for the book.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
the reason it was made this weekend was because when we made it for a photo shoot for the book this summer, it was one of those really, really hot July days. And I thought that the last thing in the world I wanted to eat was beef stew, but I ate it then, and I was still craving it now. So that's why I'm still making it.
It was Kara's birthday this weekend, so yeah. So we were making special recipes.
That's awesome. So your book sounds like it's separated into chapters by kind of occasions rather than like types of food.
Yeah, it's a strange mix between cookbook and food memoir because it definitely has all the elements of a cookbook. It's got beautiful four-color photography, over 100 recipes, but we actually added a lot of our personal narrative to it. So even though it's organized practically, every chapter or so has a story behind it that we'll tell in, you know, 2 pages or less. And then also a lot of tips or tricks that come out throughout the way that we can just kind of highlight in certain sections.
Awesome. And it's like co-written, but something's written, one chunk is written by one or the other.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. Cool. So do you have lots of dating stories in there?
We've got a section. We couldn't figure out where in the book to put it because we really like it, and so we were like, well, maybe we should put it in the beginning because people will get into the book if we have dating at the beginning, but then we sort of wanted to draw out the tension, so we have some foreshadowing of the dating that's going to happen.
All right. I can't wait to dig into that.
Nothing too juicy. Well, no, actually, there are a couple juicy chapters that we're a little embarrassed for our mothers to read.
They're filled with euphemisms.
Yeah. Did you ever, like, try to do something way over the top, maybe, like, aphrodisiac?
No.
Okay. That was just me.
Oh, tell us about that.
Oh, there's like this really embarrassing incident that I decided to transcribe in my book about an aphrodisiac dinner I made for a group of single friends of mine, guys and girls. And it was called Singles Only Supper Club, and it was top secret stuff. And I put like asparagus and all these other supposed aphrodisiac things in all the meals and all the dishes.
I didn't know that about asparagus.
Yeah, you know, I just kind of looked this up, and I've been trying to find out what, you know, and it's all just kind of like folklore legends. Like in Italy, like almonds are thought to be aphrodisiac, you know, for whatever reason. Because in that case, amaretto sounds a little bit like amore.
Right.
In other cases, they help circulation, so you know that's a good stimulant. yeah, you know, there's just like other legend, like basil for one is like in many different cultures thought to be an aphrodisiac. There's not like a huge lot of reason to it. And as it turned out in our experience, nobody really got lucky after that dinner, but
maybe they canceled each other out. Too many aphrodisiacs.
Too many. That was our fault. Anyway, so did you have any huge success stories with dating, any dishes in particular that besides the beer and
when things? I started dating my boyfriend, we were both sort of mostly vegetarians. Now we're like a little less vegetarian. But so, you know, there was this challenge of making kind of an impressive meal that was also based around like lentils, because he really likes beans. He also really likes sardines, but I decided to nix that.
Something about lentils sounds very unsexy right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Isn't it smart food? It's supposed to be good for your brain.
Yeah. Something like that, something but not necessarily for your heart, I
totally
guess.
Totally lame.
But you know, I think what happened was that I made the lentils better than he was able to make the lentils, and he was so sort of impressed that, like, I'd made lentils, I don't know, somehow good, that it worked. It was a triumph.
That's a good triumph. That can be, like, it's hard to make something, like, you know, very plain, like beans, outstanding.
Right.
So
it's a good challenge, I think.
It's a good skill. Cool. Let's cut right to your song, if we may, and get back to this. And I'd like to hear Phoebe's side. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. This is Heritage Radio Network, and our guests today are Kara and Phoebe from Big Girls Small Kitchen. I would just like to add also that they're not grossly overweight.
Thank you, Kathy.
We've been working out a lot recently.
No. No, when I heard that name, I was like, wait, so they can't move around in their small Manhattan kitchens, or I don't know.
No, it's more like all grown up. Big girls don't cry. Big girls do cook in small kitchens.
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm eating pizza right now. So you find it, I mean, what do people say to you when, because I get this a lot. They're like, oh, you cook? Really? Why? Or something like that. Do you just get a lot of, like, you know, crazed reactions when they hear about your passion for food or cooking at home?
Well, we get a lot of crazed reactions from 20-somethings like ourselves who are like, oh my God, I need you to help me. I've like never turned on my oven before. I have no idea how to use my kitchen. I eat all of my roommates' leftover cooked dishes and they yell at me. So, and we've actually a fun side effect, I guess, of starting the blog has been people constantly emailing us and texting us for help in the kitchen.
You're like a 911 for food.
Exactly, nice. Yes.
And that happened really quickly. It was like we started the blog, and then 2 weeks later, it was like, help, I need to make cookies, and they spread too much, and, you know, all of these sort of 911 questions.
Yeah, and I mean, do you find that like 50 to 75% of your peers just don't cook whatsoever? They don't never turn on their stove?
I think that the want is there, but it's kind of hard to commit to cooking as a lifestyle. And we are very much believers in the fact, and I'm sure you are as well, that in order to make it affordable for yourself, you do kind of have to commit to doing it a certain number of times a week, to buying the pantry ingredients. And so that initial investment, sure, does cost a bit. And I think it is one of the deterrents from getting started. But our friends that have really like taken the plunge and made it a habit have totally come out on top and are loving it.
So they took the plunge because they were inspired, or they just kind of they were encouraged?
I think maybe the inspiration is there a lot. You know, everybody and their brother watches the Food Network all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I think the problem is that the people who are inspired then cook and they go all out. You know, they make this like 6-course meal and they spend like way too much money and they make a huge mess and they never want to do it again.
Yeah.
And so our goal was kind of to take that kernel of inspiration and show them how to make it a sustainable thing to do, something that's fun and that's not such a crazy, crazy effort.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of our philosophy is all about balance. And so it's about it's not just about the small kitchen element. Small kitchens kind of stand in for balancing other limited resources, be it, you know, time, space, money, or skill. And so, I mean, it's funny when we give our pitch for our site to people, everyone's like, oh yeah, I would love like a cheap, easy recipe. And sure, that's part of it, but really the How To By Life example part is that we make sometimes some really involved things when, you know, we have a free Sunday and all day to cook. So we'll, you know, bake our bread from scratch instead of, you know, buying a $5 loaf, and that saves money. But I mean, a lot of people don't have time to bake bread every single day.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's just kind of, you know, that's why our book's organized by occasion. It's about finding your own balance and making cooking a real lifestyle.
That's awesome. Yeah, I find a lot of people who say, oh, I do all my cooking on the weekends. And that's also, you know, workable. That's doable too, manageable for some people.
As long as you don't get bored by Thursday.
That's my problem. Well, that's when, you know, you go crazy and reinvent leftovers
exactly.
And stuff. Hopefully. So do you guys have day jobs? Like, do you work around the clock or?
No, we got our book deal about a year ago, almost today.
Yeah, almost exactly.
And, congratulations.
Thank
Happy
you.
Happy anniversary.
So we both kind of inched out of our day jobs. I worked in marketing for a beauty company, which was kind of random. And
I worked in book publishing, so.
And now you still do, but in a different way.
Exactly. Completely the other side.
Great. Great to hear. So you guys get to write a lot, work on the blog, help build it, I guess.
And we do a lot of catering on the side to pay the bills. We've been really lucky that almost our entire book was paid for by catering gigs that we've had throughout the year. And we have a lot of fun. It's kind of a nice way to get to experiment with some of the more extravagant things that we wouldn't necessarily make for our
like
friends.
Cooking for occasions or for others.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And kind of making really classy presentations that we wouldn't do if we were just feeding ourselves.
And we love finger food. It's kind of our sweet spot. It's like hearty finger food.
Crostini. We make these wonton bites and that kind of thing.
What kind of deep fried little?
Oh no, super easy. You just kind of brush wonton skins with oil and put them in, cut them into four little
triangles?
Squares, oh. And then put them in a mini muffin tin and bake them for, 7 minutes or so until they're brown.
Yep.
Take them out. And
okay,
then
so wonton cups. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
I've done that. Yay! And then what do you put inside it?
Our new favorite right now is this kind of Asian-y shrimp salad with cilantro and lime and ginger.
That sounds really good.
And it's nice because you need so few shrimp to make so many wonton cups, because each wonton cup has probably a quarter of a shrimp in it. So it goes really far. That's kind of
mini muffin
secret.
Tins, right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. I've also done that with making little quiches inside it and baking it right in there.
That's delicious. We're working on a recipe for mini meat pies right now for a sort of British-themed cocktail party. So those are going to use the mini muffin tins, too.
Heading into winter recipes now.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
So do you guys cook for people's birthday parties? What, anniversaries? Like, just anything? And
yeah, so as Kara mentioned, our, or maybe she didn't, I don't know, our first ever blog post was actually about our best friend Jordana's 24th birthday party. A few weeks prior to starting the blog, we had cooked for it just kind of by default. She was like, I want to have a cocktail party. Phoebe and Kara, you're doing the food. And we were like, okay.
And that was when we were working around the clock. So, I carted these two big tote bags of peanut noodles to work that day. It was bizarre, but it worked.
But now, yes, we do cook for a lot of people's birthdays because people unfortunately know that it's something that we do.
Yeah.
Fortunately, but again, and being the go-to people for everyone's menus.
So it's like word of mouth, and it's a passion, it's a fun
definitely
way to create.
And kind of, we enjoy catering, but we definitely like it more when we know the people somehow via a friend of a friend, or are lucky enough to actually cater a friend's birthday. We really enjoy feeding the people that we love, so
that's cool. Sort of the whole reason we do what we do. People say, oh, you should start a restaurant, you should do this, you should do that. And in the end, we just kind of like cooking for the people that we like to cook for rather than anybody and everybody.
Yeah, totally.
Not to be selfish.
I can't wait to see what the recipes are in your book. And it comes out in, when? Exactly?
In May 2011. So just in time for graduation season.
With which publisher?
With HarperCollins at William Morrow.
Awesome. Just in time for graduation. So,
oh, yeah.
We're hoping that parents of college students will get it for, their 22-year-old kids who are setting up their first apartments and their first kitchens.
Awesome. I can't wait, guys. So, so tell me each individually, what is your favorite meal that you would like to be served? Wait, let me try this two parts. Okay. What's your favorite thing to cook just for yourself?
Oh, that's really easy. Okay. Grilled cheese sandwich, period.
Yeah, quick, simple, hot.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm a pasta carbonara kind of gal. Recently, and actually just...
Is that the egg and bacon?
It's the egg and the bacon.
And cheese.
Cheese, yeah. And, perhaps something a little healthy, like peas, or we used dandelion greens once.
Interesting.
Yeah, but just as Kara was craving beef stew over the summer, I just couldn't get, really hot, delicious, comforting spaghetti out of my mind.
I know. I was just thinking about it today. I was just it's so sudden, this transition to fall. But soup stews are all online. What's another hearty winter recipe that you guys have in store?
We just posted about this chicken stew recipe that's actually really good for this time of year because it's hearty, it's a stew, but it uses the last of summer's produce, so you can still get, the good tomatoes, the basil, the fresh peppers at the farmer's market. But then instead of making, a panzanella or something really summery, you're suddenly making
fresh tasting stew.
Exactly.
That sounds great.
And the cherry tomatoes kind of pop as they cook and create a really, really delicious broth. It's brilliant.
Oh, I gotta check that out. That's my latest favorite thing to cook with. It's a little tomatoes.
Well, we posted a lot of cherry tomato recipes.
And where do you guys like to get your food from? Just anywhere?
I live right near the Union Square Green Market, so I go there a bunch, and then, yeah.
4 days a week, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I go to the Grand Army Farmers Market, and then I kind of pick and choose the rest. You know, I go to Key Foods for some of the real basics. I go to Whole Foods when I need something fancy. And yeah, sort of see what I get. It's a mix.
Total mix.
Great. What do you guys got coming up on your blog next, do you think?
Well, we actually are working on a big redesign right now, so we're kind of still a dinky Blogspot blog, but that's going to be, you know, a thing of the past. Nice. Come our 2-year anniversary this November. And then one other really exciting thing that we're working on is once that's kind of underway, we're going to launch another microsite for college students. And so it's going to be completely student-generated
dorm cooking.
Exactly.
Microwave.
Dining hall dates at the George Foreman.
Ramen? Is ramen going to be involved? Or
probably. Perhaps. In creative ways.
In creative ways.
Mm. Lots of cocktails, probably. and then hopefully, you know, we want to tap into some of the college kids who are involved with, like, green movements on campus, like, who do sustainability stuff. So, all of that.
Wow, that's going to be a whole other kind of section of the blog.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. I can't wait to see.
Our second baby.
So, big girls.
But we're handing it to other people.
Big girls dorm kitchen.
Yeah.
We're working on the name.
And what's, so the name of your cookbook is also going to be called Big Girl Small Kitchen, the guide to some
100 recipes from our year of cooking in the real world.
Oh, okay. The subtitle. It's the memoir aspect.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, so my last question I meant to ask before, but what would be the best thing somebody could make you for a date meal?
Besides shrimp risotto with sweet peas and leeks. I mean, I'm actually more, I fall on, like, the guy side of things. I love, like, something really comforting and hearty. I would be happy with the beef stew. But maybe even, like, a big bowl of really delicious chili, vegetarian or beef,
I've
either
heard that
way.
One.
Yeah.
Sounds really neat.
A little bit spicy.
Okay.
Just relaxed. I don't like things to, you know.
So I'm seeing, like, there's no, like, separation between guy food and girl food, really. Or maybe shouldn't be so much.
Exactly. Something that you can tell requires a little bit of effort. I wouldn't want, you know, his slop that he makes himself every single night of the week. But
you wouldn't want him to open cans of chili and serve it to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I also wouldn't want him to sear tuna and, you know, really act like he's trying too hard.
So like-minded cooks.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah, I think mine would be a roast chicken with potatoes. That just gets me
nice
every time.
Comfort food.
Yeah.
You guys are making me hungry.
I know. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Let's get to lunch then. And I'm so excited for your book. And congratulations on just doing it and making it sound so, like, organized in such a helpful way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
You guys are the perfect guest for Let's Eat In. Check out their book, biggirlsmallkitchen.com is the name of the blog. Kara and Phoebe, thanks so much for coming on air. And I'm your host, Kathy Irway. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In. I'd like to thank Nat and Jack in the control booth and everybody at Heritage. Thanks. I die each time.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.